shattering.
This is Magic the Chattering, a Night of the Living Geeks production. I am one of your hosts, Mitch, and joining me again is Brandon.
What's going on?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Really, really, really excited. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. Mostly Battle for Zendikar stuff.
Let's get to that in a second. First, we've got another special guest for you today.
We do. The man who got a crazy shout-out.
Well, he asked for it, so he got it. So yeah. Here he is, Nick Wester. Welcome to the show.
Literally asking for it, and then now I'm on the show. So all you people out there on Facebook,
that's exactly,
you can live the dream.
That's how you get on the show. Yeah. You ask for a shout-out. You get a shout-out. Then you get an invite as long as you're in San Jose.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, that's pretty much how we roll. We don't cover
actually
travel expenses.
How we roll was like, hey, do we have any ideas for the show this week? No. How about a guest star?
Let's do it. We always do.
Sure, why not? I played Magic once in the last couple of months. Sure.
Exactly. That makes you a perfect guest.
Well, what was it? We did your cube and we did that
Modern Masters.
Modern Masters draft. Yeah.
That was a good.
Yeah.
That was an okay time. I just wish there was like one more person there because we had five people to draft and that was not a great time.
Yeah,
and it was a great time. It wasn't.
Right, because you always had one person just kind of sitting there watching like a creeper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they were really good at creeping, though.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, it's we're in the just in the beginning stages of spoiler season for Battle for Zendikar.
The good times.
Magic Origins is in full swing, and
I've been drafting it nonstop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
online or in paper?
Online.
Okay.
I've been so busy, I haven't been able to draft, and it's been killing me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, tonight is Friday Night Magic. You could always just, right after we're done here, just go down the street, find a place.
Yeah, but we're here now.
Oh.
Yeah, well, we could.
If nah. Yeah, I mean, the only place to go is a place I'm not sure I want to go, because they're the only people who do a late night draft.
Who's that?
That would be the Isle of Gamers.
Oh, and that's the shop we don't talk about anymore?
Yeah, it's really far.
Yeah,
I'm not really digging the crowd anymore, but I mean, that's in the past.
Yeah.
So, a sweet, sweet piece of product came out today, which is Zendikar versus Eldrazi, a dual deck. And we did cover some of the cards in a post on our Facebook. But
which you can check out at facebook.com/thechattering.
So, I'm going to hand you guys some cards in here. And one of the things you should look at is Forerunner of Slaughter, and look at the top graphic. So go here, you go, Nick.
All right.
Go ahead and look at the top of that card. So you see that crazy looking graphic on there?
Yeah.
So
a weird sort of
for people who don't know, the first Zendikar had all these hedrons in it, and nobody knew what they were. And so the hedrons actually held the Eldrazi in check, and now all the Eldrazi cards seem to have hedron graphics on them, which is kind of a nice little nod.
Yeah, because you notice that the frame is also kind of see-through, just like the original Eldrazi cards.
Yeah.
Even though these have colors.
Here you go, Nick. So, I mean, it does have a keyword on it, which states that they are colorless, even though they have color.
Which color in their mana symbols and their casting cost.
So, Dominator Drone and Forerunner of Slaughter are... they're both colored Eldrazi, except they have devoid, which means that the card has no color. It just costs color to cast them.
Yeah. That makes sense. That way you can't play it in a... like a blue deck would really like these milling type ones. Like, sorry, there we go. Ingest, whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, that player exiles the top of his or her library. Well, I guess that wouldn't really mill too many, huh?
Well, you gotta think about it also, like, we're only seeing the tip of the iceberg with these cards, and who knows how many cards are going to have Ingest.
Yeah.
And especially the cards like Oblivion Sower.
It combos real well with it. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I mean, it pulls from the exiled cards. So, you know, it's really hard to say where this will go, but, I mean, it's pretty exciting right now. And then we do have a Landfall card, and we have a ally, Human Soldier Ally.
Allies are back!
Did you see the keyword for ally triggers? It's called Rally.
No!
Yeah, so there's Hero of Goma Fada, which is 4 and a white for a 4/3. It's a human knight ally. It has Rally. Whenever Hero of Goma Fada. That's the worst name, by the way.
It's true.
Or another ally enters the battlefield under your control. Creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn. I mean, this guy's just a rare. He's a 4/3 for 5. I think it's a solid card.
If new Zendikar is anything like old Zendikar, this is a terrible card. Just because it's 5 mana.
Yeah, it's the 5 cost is concerning, but I think in regards to what allies do, I think he's pretty useful.
I mean, this changes radically if we have like an otherworldly journey or some cloud shift or something.
Yeah.
Something to bounce him.
Yeah. I mean, any way to flash in allies and stuff like that would definitely benefit this guy.
Yeah. Like, what was that one? Oh, that was from, never mind. I'm thinking of a different, I'm thinking of, what was that set? The other standalone set.
Which one?
The one with, Soul Bond.
You mean Innistrad?
The one after that. Block?
No, not Mirrodin.
Avacyn Restored.
Lorwyn? Oh.
There's the guy that when you soul bond, you can...
Oh.
Dead Knight. Deadeye Navigator.
Yes.
God, Lord. I'm going to cut that out.
Welcome you could to just the show, say, Mitch. You could just say it right now, and then you sound really smart like you just thought of it.
Deadeye Navigator. I'm not going to cut any of that out.
So we have a few spoiled cards today. Hero of Goma Fada being one of them. We have a reprint with Rolling Thunder, and
I really wish I had a laptop in front of me.
Rolling Thunder.
Yeah. Oh, that picture's amazing, by the way. It's this weird, insane firestorm, and there's an Eldrazi on fire, screaming probably, and he's probably gonna die.
It's super pyrotechnics.
I mean, it's fantastic that it's uncommon because that card is nuts at common. Oh my god, Rolling Thunder.
Yeah, I mean, Rolling Thunder was from Tempest Block, and the fact that we're getting it back is insane. I mean, it's such a good card, and especially with the amount of ramp that this set hopefully has, like, this will be an all-star
this
card.
The sad part is, this is coming in just as Theros is going out, so the devotion decks aren't going to be a thing anymore, so...
Yeah, I think that might have been planned a little bit.
Yeah, that's just going to make you sad.
I mean, so we did get a bit of ramp in Hedron Archive. It's a 4-cost artifact. You tap for 2 mana, and you pay 2, tap it, sack it, and draw 2 cards. I'm okay with this.
Objectively better. It's
nice and efficient.
It's better because like there was the original Dreamstone Hedron, which was 6 mana. You tap and you get 3.
Yeah, I mean, it's a triple Mind Stone is what it was.
It's a double Mind Stone.
No, because Mind Stone is 2, tap for 1, pay 1, tap it, draw a card. Right. Sack it, draw a card. Dreamstone Hedron was triple.
Oh, and you draw 3 cards.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the Mama Bear Mind Stone.
this kind of joins the rank for the commander players with Sisse's Ring and Urgolem's Eye, mm-hmm. except this kind of has the nice benefit of drawing 2 cards.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and so we do have the appearance of the first vampire from Battle for Zendikar, which is Defiant Bloodlord. It's a 4/5 with flying that costs 5 and 2 black.
Oh, Jesus.
Whenever you gain life, target opponent loses that much life. I mean, it's a vampire. It's
very good.
Yeah, it's a
just suck it right out of them.
But again, like, that really depends on the speed of the format.
Yeah.
Especially with the way Origins is going, is that it was just a super fast format. You got to think that
Battle for
Zendikar is probably going to be pretty...
You couldn't even... Well, no, I guess even if you did reach, like, turn 5 or 6, that's still just a win more card. Because at that point, after you have it...
Now, you see, this is a 7-mana card.
That was 7?
7 mana. So this is 5 black-black. So that is not a turn 7 play. That's like a turn 8 or 9
play.
Yeah, no, that's...
Play. Yeah, much later. I don't have a laptop in front of me, so I kind of just peek over at yours every now and again.
I told you to be prepared.
So, we also have the Guardian of Tazim, which is a Sphinx. It's a 4/5 for 3 and 2 blue. It's got flying and landfall, and whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, tap a target creature an opponent controls. If it was an island, it does not untap until the next untap step.
I think that's a neat permutation of landfall because...
Yeah.
An Icy Manipulator... Wow, that's hard to say. Icy Manipulator on a stick is pretty good.
It's a 4/5. It's a solid
body. It's worse than an Icy Manipulator because an Icy Manipulator on a stick was already on a stick that you could use... Because
this is easily killed.
Because an Icy Manipulator
4/5 is easily killed.
There are plenty of cards out there. I'm sure that it's just, destroy target creature. It's just kill this thing, and we don't even know what kind of kill spells Battle for Zendikar has so far. So we have to assume that a lot of stuff is easily dealt with, or the fact that it's there are larger creatures because there are Eldrazi.
But my point is that Icy Manipulator, you can 100% use that every turn.
Every turn. I forget.
Every turn, and it's just that
tap landfall. And tap, or was it one and tap?
One and
couple and tap.
One
it
and
was,
tap.
It was one a four tap. Cost okay. One and tap.
Yeah, that's significantly better.
But you're not drawing a land every turn to hit this. But when you do hit a land, that's going to be a... And the cool thing is, like, with instant speed land search cards like Harrow, like, what if they reprint Harrow again?
Yeah, I mean, and especially if, I mean, I don't think I'll see this thing in any sort of constructed format, but, I mean, we do have fetch lands that are readily available, and that kind of makes things
that's
an
true. Fetch lands makes this an Icy Manipulator.
True. Plus, anything, I mean, they're reintroducing landfall, so they're going to have a lot of ways to search for land.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and so I texted you a picture of this card, Mitch, and I told you to prepare yourself, and
I was not even prepared. So you told me to be prepared, and I was like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Yeah, so we have the return of a Zendikar legend. We have Omnath, except instead of being the locus of mana, it's the locus of rage.
Oh my god.
So he's 3 red red green green for a 5/5. He's legendary
creature. And he has elemental. My favorite word on it.
He does.
He has my favorite word. And then it has two really big numbers by that my favorite word.
So
can I read it?
Banding?
Go ahead.
Okay. Landfall. Whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, put a 5/5 red and green elemental creature token onto the battlefield.
That's pretty nuts.
I shat every pair of pants I owned.
He just went home and went, oh god, laundry day.
Yeah.
Now, does green still have
the
a
best
way?
Part, the best part is that's not the end of the card.
Oh, there's more?
The more, whenever a Omnath, Locus of Rage, or another elemental you control dies, by the way, it makes elementals.
Yeah.
Omnath deals 3 damage to target creature or player.
So, I mean, already this card's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, now that's dies for any reason, too. So if you have...
Now for the bad news. It's 3 red, red, green, green.
That's fine. Just a couple dark rituals and card. Cheating a little bit. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's a
commander card.
Still, that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's nuts.
I love it when Wizards puts a lot of words on the card that I like.
Well, does green still have a way of putting out multiple lands at a time?
Yes,
there
always.
Are? Okay.
I mean, Good. You've got Courser of Kruphix. You've got Oracle of Moldiah.
You won't have either of those. Well, in
commander.
Standard. Okay, God. You and this commander, quote unquote.
Bang. Yeah, so I mean, that's what we've got so far. Especially with PAX in full swing and the fact that after PAX, I'm sure we're going to end up in deeper into spoiler season.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a lot tomorrow. There's going to be something.
This is...
But you skipped over the best card. On the screen.
Okay. Which card did I skip over?
Evolving Wilds is coming back again.
How could you not have it, though?
I know, but Evolving Wilds is my favorite because it's Terramorphic Expanse, but better. It's not different. It's not different. It's just...
It's the same just thing. You it's get same. You get an Evolving Wilds with a new picture.
Maybe. I doubt they'll put a new picture on it again.
Oh, you never know.
Because they're going back... Because the original art was from Zendikar, so... Why would they put on different art than what was in Zendikar?
So did you read any of the story that was on Daily MTG? So, Nick, do you read any of the magic lore or anything? Okay, so
I used to read the old books, and then they were terrible, so I stopped.
So I'm guessing what early 2000s is when you quit.
Oh yeah, well, which time did I quit? I've quit many times.
Yeah, some of the writing was pretty bad. When they lost the D&D writers because D&D wasn't... D&D suddenly saw this resurgence and they went, oh, all of you writers, let's go back.
Oh, no, we're talking even earlier than that. The last one I read was Nemesis. That's still part of the Gerard saga.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nemesis was a little dragging.
Oh, yeah.
So, So the storyline that they gave out was Nyssa, and it was based off the Nyssa from Origins.
Mm-hmm.
And so... She produces this elemental, and she's walking around with it, and she's stomping around on Zendikar, just killing the shit out of Eldrazi.
As you do.
And the thing about the Eldrazi that she's finding is that they're sucking all of the life out of the land. So when they crawl over things, it just turns into, like, just blasted, dead, salted landscape. And the thing that I'm hoping for is to see some really drastically changed land pictures. Because of
That's one thing they did on the old, well, at least on Rise of the Eldrazi lands. If you remember the all the four different arts were all in sequence.
Yeah.
Or like they're all part of one big
one panoramic.
Yeah, panoramic.
They've done that
shot
a couple of times.
So they might continue to do that, like either have a sequence of different arts of the different land types, or as in the second set maybe show.
Yeah,
show that. A progressive set, like the same picture, but it just slowly rots and rots.
Well, yeah, I mean, or like they just have like four different arts where like they're either like half destroyed or like one's perfect and the next one's like kind of destroyed. And
yeah, because we'll have to see, because
I think it's most likely that they just do a bunch of new arts for Battle for Zendikar, and then in the second set will be a bunch of destroyed versions of those.
Yeah, and we'll see if it's full art lands throughout the block, or if it's just going to be Battle for Zendikar.
The initial?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you were just saying it was just going to be in the fat pack.
No. It's so the big reason why that was exciting is because the first time they released Zendikar, you could only get full art lands through booster packs, and they elevated their sales like crazy through that. And then you got the fat packs, which just had the normal bordered lands. So this time they're saying, no, everybody gets it. You could just buy a fat pack and get chunks of full art land.
Well, guess who's getting a fat pack of Battle for Zendikar?
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
Or seven.
I've already paid off a case.
Surprising no one.
Yeah, I know.
You earn it.
Yeah,
it's your reward. Treat yourself.
Yeah, treat yourself. So, I mean, it's really exciting, especially since we're at the tip of spoiler season.
Yeah.
Well, when does the set actually even come out?
October 2nd.
Oh, it's not even that far. All right.
No. So...
a month and a bit.
Pre-release is at the end of the month for September, and then a week after that is release date.
Groovy.
Yeah, so it literally is right around the corner.
So we talked a while ago about your the Commander block draft that you did, and I think you played some games recently.
Yeah, we did. So the only people we were missing was Eric Torres and Wilson, who were both stuck on prior engagements. But
that Wilson.
That Wilson.
So that gives you about six people?
Yeah, so okay. I played Narset, and I did pretty well. I mean, Narset, I ended up with like 40 cards in my deck after like I ended the game.
Wow.
And I also played Mael, who did... I mean, it's Mael. She just
so how was the relative power level amongst all the decks? So
you could feel it. You could feel the definite like drop in power, because
relative to each other, like, because I know like this is definitely going to be less than a normal commander deck, but was any one person's deck significantly more?
Eric John, who drafted Scars block and Zendikar block, just wrecked house. I mean, surprising no one with those expensive sets.
Yeah,
but I mean, he ramped out, so he was using Jorkadeen, which is a 5/4 first strike with Metalcraft. All of your creatures get +3/+0 for 5. And,
a little good.
I mean, he's running 2 out of 3 Eldrazi gods. He's running all of the crazy power from Scars, all of the crazy rampant power from, you know, Zendikar. And then he just kind of swings in with a double striking Kozilek and deals 24 damage.
You can get over that.
Yeah.
Were the Eldrazi gods not specifically banned in this format?
We followed general commander rules. So everybody except for
Are they Emrakul. Not banned in?
No. Emrakul is the only one that's banned.
Oh, the other ones are just tastefully not played.
Yeah.
looked down upon.
It's just gentlemen's agreement. You're not going to use those. But you guys aren't gentlemen, so it's fine.
Yeah. So I actually died to poison. He had an.
I still don't like that rule.
He had an Inkmog Nexus.
That rule's fantastic.
And I just couldn't deal with it.
Well, my argument is that in Commander, the poison rule should be like 15 counters or 20 counters.
That's like saying if you're using an alternate win condition, it should be harder because it's Commander.
Yeah, like, and Felidar Sovereign should be 60 life when you win. But no one agrees with me.
Disagree.
But, so.
Cards as printed.
Brandon Carter came in with. Airtie the Corrupted, and he's
shrug.
Two black. He's an Esper colored commander with it's two black, white, blue, and you can, I think it's like pay blue and tap it, sacrifice a creature and counter target spell.
That's a hell of a card, isn't it?
It's a
Urtai.
Plane Shift card.
Okay. Oh, all right. Plane Shift.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's back in the day. Gee. And then David played Audric, Master Tactician, and he just played mono white. Andy played.
Love it.
He played a Jund colored orc, and I can't remember the guy's name. But yeah, it. So Eric John walked away with 6 wins.
Jesus.
That is unsurprising.
Yeah, and he texts me and goes, dude, I don't think my deck's going to do very well. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Have you seen this before or after?
Before.
Okay.
And I was like, did you see the sets you drafted? Like, honestly, it's super concerning. And he goes, oh, I don't know. This is going to be terrible. I'm like, you're the only person who gets to run Annihilator. You're the only person who gets any sort of insane artifacts. What are we worried about?
There's always that level of anxiety, though, when you create a deck. You're like, this isn't going to work. I'm not going to draw the land that I need. I'm gonna get all creatures and no support. It always happens.
So, actually, Colin walked away with 0 wins.
Wow.
He played 5 color. And
I wonder if there's a correlation there.
He built a fun deck versus a competitive deck.
Who did he use as his commander?
Scion of the Ur-Dragon, just because he didn't want to spend money.
He already had that deck.
No, he didn't.
He already talked about that deck on this show.
He only used it for the 5 color because he did not want to spend the money buying expensive slivers.
That's my kind of man.
So, yeah.
All right. Do it on a budget.
I say no points awarded for Colin on that.
I give him the moral victory of not having spent any cash on this, though.
I think Andy spent less than $20.
All right, Andy wins.
Like,
well, how many wins did he get first off?
Okay, you're officially banned from the show.
He got
you don't understand. Andy is my two-headed ogre. We're connected at the hip.
How dare you praise Andy while I'm recording?
Sorry, how many wins did he get? I don't know.
Andy got like 2 wins.
That's $10 a win. That's not so bad.
So, I mean,
you got to think of it that way.
Yeah. So the only people that we need to schedule for is Eric and Wilson, just to get them to figure out like how their decks did. But the you cannot feel the power. Like it really wasn't there, and it was kind of insane because you remember the sets and you're kind of like, oh man, these were crazy, except when you pit them against other sets, this was the one thing we were discussing was, would you notice the power creep? And you kind of do.
It's true, because each set is balanced within itself. So if you think, oh, there's Mirrodin.
Modern sets are balanced within themselves. Yeah. The older sets aren't, you know, we can't really count on that. Because the way they do it now is definitely not the way they did it in old times.
This is true.
Yeah.
But Mirrodin had a couple of power cards. But outside of Mirrodin, like in, if you were drafting, you got one or two of these, like Ravager, for example, you would just basically win the draft. Yeah. But when you put that into an environment with multiple sets, it tapers out. So I had a point there, but I forgot what it was. How dare you look at me with your dreamy eyes?
I get what you're saying, though. I mean,
yeah,
sets within themselves, you kind of can, it's easy enough to balance it out. Mm-hmm. But when you pit sets against each other, especially older sets, you kind of do notice.
Yeah.
Hey, these cards aren't as good.
Plus, some sets, I mean, they just have different focuses. Like, if one's creature heavy and another one's instant heavy, that gives an entire different dynamic.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so our next segment, we have a game from Brandon.
Okay, so I'm curious because Mitch and I have really drastically different draft strategies. And Nick, I've only drafted with you once.
Yes, and that was terrible.
I think it was the Modern Masters draft where you came in completely blind.
Yeah, that was unfair.
I had read like three cards.
Your deck was okay.
Yeah.
Midnight Banshee.
Well, yeah. That's only unfair because my deck just could not beat a 5/5.
A 5/5 that shrank everything not blind.
Yeah.
So I've given you... So this is a testament to exactly how much I wanted to do this segment. These are packs from Game Day, which I got third place.
Which was how many days ago?
It was like last month.
So these packs has... Okay.
These are vintage now.
My man Brandon, packs burn a hole in his pocket. Like,
yeah.
There was one time he had bought a box for us to draft with, and we're like, okay, we're drafting on a date 2 weeks in the future. And I was talking to him over the week, like, not 2 days after he bought it. And I'm like, hey, so I'm pretty excited about that draft. He's like, yeah, I opened the box already.
Perfectly rational behavior. I cannot.
And I'm like, You opened the entire box?
I can find no fault with this.
You were supposed to save it for the thing. He's like, I'll buy another one.
I've done this several times.
I opened the entire box, and I was just aghast.
Now, before we start, I was actually going to ask you a question. Have you ever, because we were talking about this a little bit before, and have you ever heard of Pack Wars?
I have. I played it a while ago.
Yeah.
Or Mini Masters.
I found out I was terrible at it.
Oh, it's a fun little, I got nothing, no money in my pocket. I can afford one pack. All right, let's play one game with it. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. The one thing that we used to do when I used to hang out at Channel Fireball a lot was we used to bet on it. Well, and so they used to play a game called Rip or Pick. And it pretty much consists of what you think. And a lot of people lost a lot of value to ripping a card.
What's go on? I don't understand what you're...
It was either like... You either got to pick a card from, if I remember right, you either got to pick a card from them or you ripped one of your own at blind random. So you would just, if you lost the pack war, you would tear a card in half at random.
Ah.
And I've watched people tear rares apart, mythics apart. Like, it was just a blind. And people, it was like people consistently would always just be like, I'm going to lose this no matter what.
So, okay. So I'm going to, so you play a pack wars. Yeah. And then the bet is like, and then the loser chooses.
The loser has to shuffle up their cards. And then blindly rip one card in half,
or you get to pick one.
Well, when
right?
is when
or
is,
you get to
or
you
when get, when is rip or pick chosen? Then is the winner
at the end of the pack war. So, the winner got to pick a card to take, and then the loser also has to rip a card in half.
We just played. They
have to do both.
Yes.
People
were betting like super hard on this.
So it's not so much rip or pick.
The winner first gets
got to choose the order, which was typically they pick the card first.
And then they rip.
And then the person had to rip a card.
Oh, that's awesome.
See, I mean, this is how I remember some people playing it. And it was like the people who sat there for hours, just basically they would buy like three or four boxes and just play this game for hours.
Wow. I love it.
It's a fun little mini game.
I mean, that took... I give away boxes and boxes of cards when I'm like... you know, over capacity, but I can't do that. Not based off a lot of like moral high ground.
I feel like that's a real old school players kind of game remember the days of Ante and
That was when we actually started it back in middle school, because then you still had lands and packs and that wasn't fun. When did they stop? Was it fourth edition they stopped putting lands and packs?
I believe so.
Yeah, we started with that then. That was like I think seventh grade for me. I'm so old.
Anyway, so pick or pass.
All right, what are the rules here?
So we're going to open up the packs. We're going to pick a card, and we're going to pass. We're going to, quote unquote, pass it.
Okay.
And we're going to flip the card that we picked and why.
Okay.
And you have to defend your pick against the two other people.
Do you want to take turns? Like?
Yeah. So actually, why don't you go first, Mitch?
Now, defend it as if we were doing a draft, or just defend it in general?
Why would you pick this card over all the other cards?
All right, so my pick is Thopter Token.
Got you a Soldier Token to go right along with that.
All right, so I'm picking out... All right, so notable cards in this pack. I've got the rare is Tragic Arrogance. And then there's a Fiery Impulse and a Fetid Imp, a Knight of the Pilgrim's Road, and not much else. So I think this is pretty easily just Fiery Impulse, move on, because Fiery Impulse is incredible in this format. It's 2 damage all of the time. It's 3 damage some of the time. And since this format is very 2-drop based, that's easy to say, just like...
And this was a pick over what other card?
Tragic Arrogance, which I think is probably, since, like, I feel like white is one of the best colors in this format.
Absolutely.
But this being a 5-mana sort of wipe the board, but that's a hard commitment to go first pick. Like, I don't think this card's good enough to be like, this puts me in white. This is kind of like, if I'm white, I want to pick this up 3rd or 4th pick, maybe. Like, if this was passed to me and I had already picked a couple of white cards, I'd be like, sweet, this is going to round out my deck. But I don't think like this opening this card would be like, I'm going to take this card and I'm going to play the fuck out of white.
So you're not going to auto slam white using...
No, but I would definitely auto slam first pick Fiery Impulse.
Man, your pack was real nice to you.
Yeah, but the rest of the pack is just shit.
Yeah, I'm looking at this.
Those are the only 2 cards in the pack, and then there's a Fetid Imp, which is good, but like but not
Fiery Impulse good.
Not Fiery Impulse good. And there's a Fleshbag Marauder, Amperin Tactician, Cyborg Guard, Hitchclaw Recluse, Cyborg Guard, Guardians of Miletus, Knight of the Pilgrim's Road, Nantuko Husk, Sigil Starfish. I mean, Nantuko Husk and Sigil Starfish are defendable good cards, but like not like...
All right, your pack was real nice to you.
Yeah, that was an easy choice. That wasn't...
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to go next thing. So, my bad. Well, so going into this somewhat blind, got you a nice soldier token. Enjoy that. Actually, no, sorry. Brandon, got you a nice soldier token. You enjoy that.
He is the token guy.
Yeah, but he's going to give it to me anyway.
Whatever. It's a thought that counts. All right, so going into this somewhat blind, I have some difficulty. But using my instincts, my gut instincts, I would go with Mighty Leap.
No.
No? Okay, yeah, no. All right. Well, mainly because I'm a sucker for giant growth, A, number one. But also, it gives you... Yeah, flying until end of turn. Since white, in general, at least in my experience, well, actually, so the other reason going for white in this one is there's only one other card that's white, Healing Hands. So you pass to the left, the person knows, all right, white is going to be a little bit harder to get.
Well, this is, sending if this a signal. Is the first pick, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kill off white in the pack, right?
I'm really curious as to what uncommons and rare.
All right, well, I'll give you that. Let's go. I do like the rare of Flame Shadow Conjuring.
Nah, that's...
Well,
you have to build that hard. Like, you really got to build around that.
I'll force it. I'll make it work. Where are my uncommons at?
There we go. You're going to say Whirler Rogue is in this pack, and I'm going to lose my mind.
Whatever rogue you just said, it's right in my hand right here.
Are you serious?
No, I'm shitting you. If I was, I was going to just read the card. Now, we have Jessian Thief.
That card is 100% better than...
Well, I am biased against blue. Blue's kind of shit. Chief of the Foundry and Ravaging Blaze.
That card is better than Mighty Leap.
One creature. excuse me. I really liked...
Chief of the Foundry is better than Mighty Leap.
Ring Warden Owl. Except it's high cost.
That card is better than Mighty Leap.
It's a high cost, and you were saying that this is a lower cost quick one.
But it is a,
yeah.
It's a 5-cost 3/3 with flying and prowess. Yeah,
but oh no, it is fantastic. But yeah. As you said, by that point you've either won the game. Well, actually, if we're drafting
in this format, Mighty Leap is like a
25th card.
25th card. Yeah, 22nd card.
22 cards in a pack? All right.
So
well, now you know why I'm so bad at drafting.
Mighty Leap was great, like in M11, M12, like because there really wasn't that much. There wasn't a ton of combat tricks, and that was like an excellent combat trick.
Well, this pack is how many creatures are in this pack? Let me check real fast. That's seven creatures. So that's over half. No, eight creatures. So that's over half, which means combat trick wise. Gain 4 life, draw a card. Hey, Healing Hands. Aren't you glad I didn't pick that first? How much would you punch me in the face if I had taken Healing Hands first?
I would probably take Healing Hands before I took Mighty Leap.
Are you serious?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, just saying that's how bad those cards
are. Now you're just making me feel bad. Mantle of
Webs. I don't want to make you feel bad. I just want to say, like...
I got self-esteem coming up my ass, dude. It's fine.
Well, nice that's ass. What we got to clean up afterwards. Yeah,
that's fine. It's John's.
So
John's right, problem, not yours.
So
so what was the correct answer then?
Well, there's no correct. Well, there's no correct answer. But just in general, I would think that like Ravaging Blaze is a removal spell, which will be useful when you're trying to.
Oh yeah, but,
it'll be useful in the game. Like you can kill something. You can kill a player with that. You can kill a creature that you can't.
Well,
block.
You need more than one in order to kill a player with it.
You see,
how many do you need?
Here's the problem. Like,
so you need three.
When you're playing in limited, you want stuff that affects your board state. A creature will affect the board state because it can attack or it can block. A removal spell like Ravaging Blaze can affect the board because it can either kill a creature that is preventing you from winning the game, or it can kill a player that will win you the game. Mighty Leap doesn't. Like, it needs something else in order to affect the board.
See,
like,
I'm sorry, go on.
A Mighty Leap, you need to have a creature on the board in order to do something with that card.
Assumption, though, and yeah, I see what you're saying. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to invalidate that. But my assumption is, well, okay, with three players, maybe not. But we're going to be getting creatures throughout the rest of the draft, so to speak, if there were future rounds. So
right. So, but...
I get what you're saying. You don't want to get your combat trick before you have combat.
Right. So... Yeah. The problem with the first pick is you may not, there's not a 100% chance that you're going to end up in white. So,
Yeah, I like to force my way into colors. This is a thing that I've learned, and I know it's not a great idea, but it's the simplest, most direct way, and that's generally how I play. Mm-hmm. That's why I favor red in general, because it's a very simple, direct color.
Red would be a good one to force. Yeah.
That was part of the reason why I was like, oh, I don't want to take this red enchantment. That's going to just give away too much of me.
Yeah, and that one too, that is a high, they call setup cost.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I knew enough to not take it first. You want to see what's coming out for the rest, because otherwise you are kind of forcing yourself into a corner. Yeah. And then on the other hand, Mighty Leap.
it wouldn't be the wisest first pick.
In other words, it would table.
It 100% will table. Yeah. You're going to see 17 Mighty Leaps go through the draft.
Except for that one person.
You're going to see...
You'll see less than one, because I will take it first.
Yeah. So, Ravaging Blaze, that's a much... much wiser pick. Just as an advice.
No, it's good advice.
Yeah,
I'm not super offended. If I was offended, I would pull off these headphones and just walk out into the hot, hot night.
All right, Brandon, your turn.
All right, so first and foremost, this is a fun pack, but I think I'm thinking War Oracle.
That's a good choice.
I'm thinking War Oracle over... So Totem Guide Heartbeast is, I love that card, but it's so hard to get.
Yeah, and that's not a first pick. That's that's a card you pick up with, like, if you've got a Suppression Bonds or a Grip of the Hieromancer in your stack already.
Or Way to the Underworld. I mean,
yeah.
So the or two cards Sigil that are notable is Rock's Maulers and Reeve's Soul. So Reeve's Soul.
So you're taking nuts. Reeve's Soul over, or you're taking. War Oracle over Reeve's Soul.
I kind of am, because War Oracles go very fast in Reeve's Souls. It's been with this weird trend. I think, I don't know if this is different between the people I've drafted with or the just the MTGO crowd, but it just seems like I've seen Reeve's Soul come by really late.
I've never seen Reeve's Soul come by.
I think it's just dependent on who I'm playing against.
Just from my limited experience with Origins, I've had 100% situations, way more situations where I wanted a Reeve's Soul in comparison with the couple of times I've had War Oracle in my hand and just be like the worst card in my deck.
Yeah, I mean,
that's speaking more to the quality of my deck than the quality of War Oracle.
I mean, because I've never settled on a deck within the first, you know, by the first pick. It's always by pick 4 or 5 that I'm kind of like, okay, so I kind of see where I'm going here. And War Oracle, honestly, even if I don't end up drafting white, I'd much rather have it and not use it than let somebody else beat the crap out of me with it.
Because I've never had a deck where I'm just like, man, I wish I didn't have so many removal spells.
Yeah, no.
I've always had, man, I could use 6 or 7 more removal spells.
No, I completely agree with you. But
yeah,
drafting a strong white card in the beginning, especially in a white-heavy set, is never a bad idea. Because
I was going to say never a good idea. I'm just saying, of the white cards in Origins, I don't think War Oracle is the one to make me be like, I'm first picking this, I'm moving in, plan A. Like,
yeah, I mean,
the War thing Oracle is, feels like a oh, I've got a Topin Free Blade, I've got a Cleric of the First Order, I've got a Suppression Bonds. Man, a War Oracle would go real nicely with all these.
No, I agree with you on that.
Yeah,
it's just I've never had an issue drafting white to begin with, because if I don't end up with white, I just took a strong card in the beginning and I prepared myself better against my opponents in the later rounds.
Yeah. I just think it's like a B minus first pick.
It was a very tough choice between Reeve's Soul and War Oracle.
Yeah. Whereas I think I like Reeve's Soul, so that's probably like a B plus A minus first pick.
Yeah. And it's a common versus an uncommon.
Yeah.
I'm kind of.
Which one's uncommon?
War Oracle is uncommon. Mm. Reeve's Soul is common.
Mm. It's double.
You may see more.
See, this is why it's a tough choice. Yeah. But I'm kind of partial to drafting strong for the colors and for the set.
Yeah.
Versus, I mean, I understand that you should be drafting utility more than you should be drafting about what the set is quote unquote strongest with. But this has been working out. I've been 2-0-ing, 3-0-ing almost every draft.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty confident.
You think you're better than me?
But I kind of do.
Thing is, though, have you been grabbing War Oracles in the first?
My first Origins draft, I got a. I did not get a War Oracle, but the second one, I got 2 War Oracles.
Yeah, but I mean, were they your first pick?
Yes.
Oh, well, that shuts me down.
Yeah, no, the second draft, I...
You can't argue with results.
I had a garbage rare. I had garbage commons and uncommons, except for War Oracle. Mm-hmm. And then the next pack, a War Oracle came by, and I went, well, I don't feel bad taking the second
one. Well, also, yeah, by then, you're kind of... It reinforces your previous decision.
But, yeah, this... I'm not taking Infinite Obliteration in a draft.
No, someone... That's barely a standard playable card.
Yeah, it's not.
Someone played that. I was playing my Shaman of the Pact deck online, and someone Infinite Obliteration me. I'm like, yeah, all right. I still won.
Elves.
That was the Demonic Pact deck I was playing.
Oh, nice.
Against.
Oh, elves.
You put together a tribal challenge or something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
Because elves are banned, and that's what reminded me of this.
Yeah, so instantly I'm uninterested.
So, one of the discussions that came up with the commander draft was, hey, what if we drafted tribes? And so everybody started talking about it, and it kind of picked up immediately. And we did draft... So we banned the quote-unquote strongest out of every color.
That's a good idea.
So soldiers, merfolk, zombies, goblins, elves, and slivers are all banned.
Who gives a shit?
And this was
there's nothing left.
And there's birds. There's always birds.
This was based off of
a discussion. Yeah, how do you not ban birds? Avon.
Because nobody's building birds.
I'm going to build an oof. An oof tribal. I think there's one.
So the rules we came up with, you pick a tribe.
Beebles? Can I do Beebles?
Sure. 75% of the creature's base in your deck has to be that tribe.
Oh, okay, so you aren't forced to have everything of tribe. No. Okay.
And it's a minimum of 20 creatures per deck.
Minimum 20.
Yeah. Good luck, Beebles.
It's like, that's not a trouble at all.
No.
Half your deck should have... No.
So, rats. I'm going to do rats.
So there's a lot... I mean, this thread went up on the 25th, and it's got like over 30 replies to it already.
Awesome.
So I went with giants because giants, and I picked a dude who's kind of old school.
Yeah.
And I kind of picked him just for his colors because he's Jund. I picked Bartel Runax. He's from the Mighty Legends set. He's a 6/5 for 3 green, red, black.
Wow.
You already look unimpressed.
Oh, no. It's Legends. They were way overcosted for way not nearly enough effect.
He is a 6/5 with vigilance and can't be targeted by aura spells. Mostly just using him for colors.
He's a warm body. If you have that much mana and you don't have a giant in your hand, all right.
So the deck is based around giants, making tokens of copied tokens of giants. Pandemonium.
Are you playing, giant beating?
The minute you said token, you got his interest back.
I might be.
Did I ever tell you about my popper giant beating deck?
So you're just baiting all over the place?
It was a masterful play, really. But it was revolving around that and another spell that you make like 3/1 elemental tokens and then populating them.
Because you like tokens.
Yeah, I like tokens.
Everyone's got a fetish. It's fine.
All right.
But yeah, I mean, so once that kind of gets people started. No, I already ordered the deck because Colin's in town.
Because you have a problem.
I have a problem. Brandon Carter picked Warriors.
Warriors.
The moment he said that, I linked that scene.
Come out. And
he's got a lot of options because every color has green. Yeah, no, even green has some blue. Yeah. Blue has war. Yeah, so everyone has some. That's good options. Can't think of a warrior legend, but there you go.
Eric John, Kamigawa. There you go.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Everything's a legend in Kamigawa. Eric John picked Hydras. So he's literally just mana rocks, mana ramp, and Hydras. And he's kind of go big or go home.
Hail Hydra.
Count me out again.
That's the deck name.
Had a feeling.
Hail Hydra.
I think Andy's building angels just because he
dumb,
bought...
Dumb dot deck.
He bought from the Vault Angels, and I'm pretty sure that's the reason why he's playing Angels.
That's smart. You got to use the resources you have at hand.
So, yeah, I mean, once that kind of gets together more, we'll kind of go over what happened. But
all right,
it's a it's deck building challenges are always fun.
Yeah, that was the thing I always like. Pre-constructed, just build whatever you want to build. Almost nothing that very rarely ever interested me because it's always just a matter of who has the biggest suitcase. So I like little rules on what you can put in. Restriction. Just for fun. Restrictions.
Restriction breeds creativity.
Yeah. Anytime you force someone, like the ultimate is sealed deck because everyone gets the same five packs. Well, whatever.
Six packs now.
Six? Yeah. That gives you, yeah, that smooths things out a little bit. We've had problems before where people get like, I got one good card.
Yeah.
Now you have a slightly extra chance. But I mean, that's the thing is anytime you're restricted, you have to, that's a real deck building challenge in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So as our guest, you were tasked with producing, content for a segment. So what have you got for us, Mr. Nick?
I made games because that's what I'm good at.
Games.
Don't Yay. Tell.
We tried one game before. It didn't go as well as I wanted it to.
It's all about the charisma of the person hosting, which means Ooh. This is going to suck because I have
zero. I thought he was taking a jab at your charisma.
I thought he was too. I was about to be like, motherfucker, no. I'm charismatic as fuck.
You do. I have confidence coming out of my ass. You got charisma coming out of your ass.
You know it.
Mm-hmm. I'm not cleaning either.
So on the other hand, though, I put them to the other side of me. I also brought prizes.
Prizes.
Yay.
Worst case scenario, at least you guys will get something for sitting through it.
You figured out like probably the best way to get yourself invited back to the show.
Bribery. It helps. My D&D sessions, what I've done before is just have big bowls of candy. And then anytime anyone entertains me, you just throw like a box of nerds at them. Positive reinforce, or you give them a gold star. I used to have a 3x5 index card with each player's name on it. I would put gold stars whenever they did something fun and a black star if they did something bad. Oh my God. Fantastic times.
Big bowls of candy is my Weezer cover band.
All right. Oops. I keep making sounds as I sort these things out.
So basically you subscribe to Pavlov. You just... Ding, here you go.
No, no, no. You can't just ding. They have to make something. Oh, I see what you mean. Never mind. Shut up. Edit that out. No. All right, so I got three games for you. You can choose which one you want to do first. We got kind of a variant on the one you did before. We got Trample, Rampage, or both. We got if you win this game, you win the game. That's a quiz about alternate win condition cards.
Okay.
And a tribute to Magic's greatest ability, which I'm not going to tell you what it is until you pick that one.
Okay, I want to do Trample or Rampage.
Trample, Rampage, or both? Okay, this one's real simple. So I'll just go back and forth between the two of you, and you tell me if the card has Trample, Rampage, or both of them.
Now, Rampage is...
a super old ability that was terrible even back then.
You get counters when you deal...
It's if this creature is blocked, any creature beyond the first, it gets Rampage... It gets plus X, which is the Rampage number.
Right. Yeah. So, okay. Multi-blocking, that happens all the time.
So, that's why people would use Lure.
Mm.
And Ooh. there was Lure Basilisk, was it Thicket Basilisk,
yeah.
Cockatrice, except there was also people who did Rampage.
Yeah.
And one of the old Elder Dragons actually had Rampage.
Oh, many of them.
All right, so let's game it. Game it up.
All right, random, you go first. All right, so, I was about to call you Andy, that would have offended you. All white people look alike to me.
You're going real back and forth on the invite list, like you were on it, then you're off it. And you're on it, and now you're off it again, so...
All right, well, anyway.
You're on thin ice.
Mitch, we'll give you Goblin Mutant.
Goblin Mutant
from either Ice Age or Alliances, I forget which one.
Goblin Mutant definitely has Rampage.
Nope, that has Trample. It was 5-3 with Trample, and you had to flip a coin in order to attack with it.
I don't know cards older than, like, Shards of Alara, so...
Well, good luck with that, because Rampage, I think that died out. I think that died out in Legends. Yep. All right, so Old Fogey...
Is this a points based game? Like,
yeah, this one's just points.
You're gonna give him
old Fogey. Hey, I'm just
old
picking
Fogey
these randomly.
Old Fogey is a uncard.
Yeah,
it's the only one on this list. I'm pretty sure it has Rampage.
Is it not both?
No. Old Fogey is not. No, Old Fogey is just.
I don't believe you.
Oh no, you're right. You're right. Well, it's because banding with other dinosaurs. Do you want to count that? Banding with other dinosaurs.
What do you mean?
That's the specific ability that it has.
It does not have Trample. Phasing, cumulative upkeep.
Why
did
I say
echo,
banding?
Fading,
oh,
three.
Shit. You know why? Because this started off as the banding quiz. So I don't know why I was saying that. My bad.
This does band with other dinosaurs.
Yeah, and has protection from Homerids.
Yeah.
Which so, only okay, were so in Fallen Empires. So that is Rampage only. Too. I don't know. I'm going to blame the beer. Yeah.
Wait, so what did you answer? Trample?
Rampage.
Okay, so you're correct.
Yeah. Colin and I drafted and played a ton of the unsets.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why I remember.
I love that card. I picked it.
There's one of these that has both.
Many that do. There was
what am I thinking of?
Are thinking of possibly the one that I'm about to ask you right now, Greater Morphling.
I'm gonna guess Trample.
It has both.
Oh, did we just?
I just told you literally that I was going to tell you this one, and it had both.
Wow. All right, well. Ding.
Yeah, Greater Morphling, it has pretty much any ability you can think of, but it costs
what's the
two.
One? What's the...
The one you're thinking of is... God damn it. The name is something like, our market research shows that our players love cards with long names, so we made a creature with the longest name ever. Something along those lines.
Yeah. Actually, that has only Art Rampage. That's not the one I'm thinking of.
Art Rampage. Wait, did I write that? No, I didn't write that one down because I had way too many cards. Or way too many words.
Anyway.
All right, anyway. Frost Giant.
Frost Giant. Let's go Trample.
Nope. Rampage.
Frost Giant.
Yeah.
Was it from a terrible set like Ice Age?
I honestly don't remember. Probably. Ice Age was not terrible for its day.
Oh, no. It's Legends. It's a red card.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wait, a red Frost Giant?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, makes sense.
Don't question.
Are you sure that wasn't a misprint? Because I know they did that all the time back in the day. I had a...
No, it shows it's 3 and triple red for a 4/4 with Rampage 2.
Jesus. Because I had, for the longest time, I had a blue genie with a green background.
Yeah, that was a misprint, though.
Yeah, that was my point.
Yeah.
Are you sure it was a misprint? But apparently not. All right, cool. All right, Mitch, Angry Mob.
Angry Mob has Trample.
Yay!
I get a point!
Actually, the funny thing is they're now tied.
I remember Angry Mob, though.
All right, Brandon, Wolverine pack.
Let's go with Rampage.
Correct.
Ass.
I had to think, how many Wolverines have been printed recently? Yeah. Zero.
Zero.
I hadn't thought of that. All right, Mitch, Gorilla Berserkers, which I picked mainly because it's got gorillas in it.
Gorilla Berserkers definitely has Rampage.
Well, it does, but it also has Trample.
Fuck.
So that's another both.
So that's a no points then.
For that's no answer. Points for you.
That's fair.
I learned from your previous game. You don't give points for partial correct.
Good. I like it.
All right, Brandon. Tika's Dragon. There have been many dragons printed recently.
Tika's Dragon has Rampage.
And it has both as well.
Really?
I don't remember what set that's from.
Oh, that's the Mirage one that cost 9.
Sure.
Yeah.
I had all these written down in my notepad document, and then I'm like, I'm not going to write all that information down. I don't need that.
Yeah. Yeah, it has. It was hilarious because it says artifact creature. It's T-E-E-K-A.
Yeah.
It actually has text on the card that says Tika's Dragon is a dragon.
Counts as a dragon.
Oh yeah, because it was from before the great.
Before they
overhaul.
Printed subtitles.
Yeah.
It's Mirage.
I love Mirage. I've already told you my terrible story about buying a box of Mirage instead of buying Black Lotus.
Technically, he shouldn't get any points. Because it has Flample, not Trample.
Yeah, no. He said it had both.
Still.
Doesn't have that Trample. Makes me forget whose turn it was. Oh, no. Now it's Mitch's turn.
That's right.
All right. Wrathy Berserker.
This is an old card.
Oh, yeah.
It could have Trample. It could have Rampage.
Could have both.
It
Hence
could
the
have
name
both.
Of the game.
I don't think it has both, though, because there's been a couple of boths in a row. I'm going to guess Trample.
You guessed wrong.
Ah, mother...
That's just Rampage.
It's a stupid game. You can't come.
All right. Well, here's a good one, though. Gore Clan Rampager.
Let's go with Trample.
You fucking piece
correct?
You piece of shit.
That's a new card.
I thought the word Rampager would catch you.
It's Berserker.
Berserker?
Yeah, you said Berserker.
Well, for this one, I said Gore Clan Rampager. I thought Rampager, he might think, it's got Rampage.
All right. Yeah, all right.
I was being testy. Well, here's a nice old card for you then.
Okay.
Cabold Drill Sergeant.
Rampage.
Trample.
This game is
and it
stupid.
It gave all your 0/1 Kobolds Trample as well.
This is just me straight cold guessing on these.
This is a huge disadvantage to Mitch on this. Because I know really old cards.
I don't.
I actually built a kobold deck because I found
them
at a garage
to.
Sale.
They were great. There were three of them. They were all 0/1s for zero. So you could theoretically just put out 7 on the first turn.
You know, I'm just going to start cheating.
That's why there's only one left in this game.
Okay.
So the last one for you, not that it really matters, but to pad your lead, you got Craw Giant.
That's
the Reverend Jedediah Craw Giant. I call back to another game.
I believe that's both.
It, as a matter of fact, is.
Yeah, because I played with that card.
Shut the fuck up.
That's also from Legends. It was horribly overcosted.
Shout out to Girls Interrupting for that.
Good times.
So,
so it's 4-1. So you get to pick either 3 packs of Origins, 3 packs of Origins, or 3 packs of Dragons.
I will. I'll go with some Origins.
Ooh,
some good Origins. Choice. All right. Game two.
This
is where I come back. This is where I get my vengeance on you.
All right. All right, so
what are the other two games?
I'll let you pick.
Loser picks.
So you've got, if you win this game, you win this game.
Okay.
And A Tribute to Magic's Greatest Ability.
I'm going to take A Tribute to Magic's Greatest Ability.
Banding.
You're not going to like it.
It's a real simple one. So.
I'm sorry. The name of this game is inaccurate.
Well, that's why.
Because this isn't. The name of the game
is ironically named.
No. Oh, I see. It was such a great ability. In fact, I'm going to start it off with my favorite one because this is a rare from back in the day. Three colorless and a white. So, I should tell you how you're going to play this one.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
I'm going to read you their ability.
Okay.
And what they do. And then it's multiple choice, A, B, or C. Okay. You're going to tell me the name of the card.
All right.
All right. And I'll even tell you what set they're from.
Okay.
This is a huge disadvantage to Mitch as well because I know a lot of old cards. Real?
This might still work. This might still work.
This game is ending up being like Nick bought Brandon 9 packs of Magic.
That's my fee for two. All right. So the first one, I'm going to give it to you. This is my favorite banning creature ever because it was so inefficient. 3 colorless and a white.
Uh-huh.
So 1/1 creature from Fallen Empires.
Okay.
Banding and first strike, and all creatures banded with this card have first strike.
All right.
So is it A, Icacian Skirmishers, B, I was never sure how to pronounce it, Lightbearers Chosen, or C, who cares, it's a Fallen Empires card.
Is it Liber?
L-E-I-T-B-U-R. I always thought it was Lightbearer. We called it Lightspeed, but that's because we were in the 6th grade and didn't know any better.
See, now C sounds like a trick answer.
Well, no, I mean, it might be the correct, because who cares, it is Fallen Empires. And it's 4 mana for a 1/1.
It's very tempting. But I think it's Icacian Skirmishers.
Correct. Finally get on the board.
I'm on the board. Can't take that point away because there's no negative points in this game.
All right, Brandon. Your creature is white, and 1 colorless. It's a 2/2 creature from Homelands, and this was also a rare, and this is my favorite thing. Here's its ability. Green, this creature gets banning until end of turn. That was a rare back in the day.
Well, it wasn't uncommon, too, until they changed the rarity.
See, how do you know this card?
No, it would have to be an uncommon one for it to count as a rare one.
Don't even give him the multiple choice. I want you to name this card.
There were common, uncommon, and uncommon two.
Yeah.
And uncommon twos became rare.
No, because uncommon two meant that there were two on the sheet, meaning it was twice as common.
Oh, my God.
Twice as frequent as a regular uncommon one. So it should have been uncommon one, right?
I don't know how you're nerding this up, but you're nerding this up.
Right.
Name the card, Brandon. Don't even take the multiple choice.
Let's see. Can you name it real fast? If you can, I will give you 2 points if you can name it blind.
Oh, that's not fair.
If it's Homelands, I probably won't know it as well.
Okay, so A, you got Beast Walkers. B, you got Feral Soldier. And C, Beige Bear. Remember, it's a white card. 2 white and a colorless, but with a green ability.
What was the first choice?
Beast Walkers.
Sure, let's go with Beast Walkers.
Do all of your questions have a gimme third answer?
Maybe.
Beige Bear, though. Shout out to Verm.
Shout out to all of us. You were there when we created this Beige Bear thing.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't?
Nah.
All right, fuck you.
Back on the list.
Best guest ever.
I got another rare for you.
All right.
This one's from Ice Age. It's an instant. 1 white, 1 colorless. Target creature gains banding until end of turn. Draw a card at the start of your next upkeep.
All right.
This actually might be a decent card. Because I had to look up the rules for banning because I forgot that you could use it on the defense. If you're gang blocking, it was pretty decent. Anyway, sorry. So, name of the card is A, Formation, B, Bait and Switch, or C, Buddy System.
The first one, Formation.
Yes. I swear they're not all A. It's just I've been picking.
I would have laughed so hard if you went Buddy System, boom.
Buddy System, boom. No, I figured out his pattern is that C is a gimme. C is not the right one ever so far. You should have done 4.
Nah, it's fine. I wanted to give you 50-50 chance.
All right,
Brandon. All right. So 1 white, that's all it is. 0/1 creature from Arabian Nights, and it's common. Banding, and as long as this creature, obviously it says the name of it, but whatever. As long as this creature is attacking, it and all creatures banded with it gain immunity to damage from deserts. Oh, sorry. Oh, wait. Can you name it?
Camel.
Shit, yeah. Would you like? Would you like to know?
I
want to
hear his funny answers, though.
All right. Well, A was caravan. Uh-huh. B was camel, and C was dromedary.
The reason
of
why
justice.
I know that is because when I what first
was it? Dromedary of justice.
So the reason why I know that so well is because when I first started playing, I went through a box of like junk cards, and like I went, 100. Camel. There's a camel
yeah.
card. This is awesome. How many deserts are there?
One.
And so I went through the assumption that there was like desert was like a really terrible thing that was just you
all
know,
over
crazy
the place.
Bad. And then later on when I found out there was one card that was desert and it would just deal a damage to an attacking creature.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, so
yeah,
I got really excited about nothing.
Plus, I'm trying to remember, was desert even considered a basic land or could you only have four in your deck?
I'm pretty sure it's not
basic.
It
I think it was considered not or considered basic, at least as insofar as deck building, but I can't remember.
That can't be right.
No?
Because it has a name.
Yeah, but you could just put base. Oh, wait, no. Basic land is a new, relatively new.
It was land desert.
Yeah.
As errated now. Oh, so it's it was considered a non-basic.
So you can have four.
Ooh. You can only have four deserts.
Fantastic. All right. So there's only two left because there's a lot of creatures abandoning and not all of them are entertaining. But now they get harder because it's okay. Two. So this is actually two creatures, one reprinted later. So it's one white mana. It's a creature. It's 1/1. This was in Alpha through 5th edition and then a reprint with a different name in Ice Age. They were both common. So is it A, Benelish Trooper and Snow-Covered Benelish Trooper, B, Benelish Soldier and Kjeldoran Hunters, or C, Benelish Hero, I have to read my own handwriting, Benelish Hero and Kjeldoran Warrior?
I think it's B.
It's C. Fuck. See what you do when you say, oh, it's never going to be a C answer.
Well,
right
okay,
on there.
Now, see, now I followed. I heard.
An asterisk with
I listened,
C.
I listened to what you were saying, and like that does not sound like a joke answer. You
Oh,
like,
the joke answer was Snow-Covered Benelish Trooper.
Oh, see, now I thought, I was like,
that's
I,
an
Ice
Age.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, that's the thing. I was like, is Mitch going to know what Kjeldoran is?
Oh, fuck know? You!
No, because it was Ice Age.
And There was also in Cold Snap.
Thank you.
Yeah, except their sets were terrible, and we agree they should be stricken from the
but
record.
But I still know what Kjeldoran means. Like,
all right, that was more curious because I didn't know how much Cold
Snap. One
of
my commander decks is based on the King of Kjeldor.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, Jerry I King fucking... Of, no, Darien.
Darien, that was close.
Darien, King
know
of Kjeldor.
I just know him as the dude who poops out soldiers.
Yeah, Darien, soldier pooper.
All right, last one for this game. It's a tie right now, so you might still get some packs. All right.
There's a chance.
Three colorless and a white. Oh, this is the same thing where it's two creatures, different names. All right, three colorless and a white, 2/2, Arabian Nights and Mirage. Can you name it just off the top of your head? If you can, I'd be really impressed.
No.
All right. A, you got Juggernaut and Jamurin Hippo. B, War Elephant and Noble Elephant. Or C, Big Fucking Rock and Bigger Fucking Rock.
Let's go with B.
B, yes. Because
I know War Elephant is a
real card. Yeah.
Yeah. Because Colin actually played with that card.
Well, it was a good card. I mean,
rigged. 2/2 game is stupid.
2/2 banding for 4 mana? Come on, that's a great card. Actually, it had Trample too. I didn't write that down because I'm dumb. Whatever.
I like how this segment became look at Brandon's vast knowledge of totally useless old cards.
Pick your poison.
I don't care.
You want the origins? Get more origins. Why not?
Yeah, I'll
you know
go
you like it, baby. You like it, baby. There you go. Have 3 more packs.
All right. This game
all right.
is where I make my comeback.
It could
and
be.
I don't embarrass myself. At least I got points in the last game.
The rules for this one are simple.
What's the name of it again?
If you win this game,
you win the game.
Okay. Which is a quiz about alternate win condition cards.
Gotcha.
Thank you, Andy, for
helping
me out.
So now
what are
the rules?
So here's it's a lot easier. So I'm going to name you the card. I'm going to give you the name. Uh-huh. I'm going to give you the cost if you want, because who cares? And I'm going to give you the set. And then you're just going to tell me what you think the alternate win on it is.
Oh, okay, good. I could do this one.
And the both of you are going to do it. And here's the thing. If you don't know what it is, make it up. Because if both of you get it wrong, then the funniest one wins.
All right.
So you're... There you go. Sorry.
If I said Coalition Victory, it's... like, what, 6 colorless, and then 1 white, 1 red, 1 blah, 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 right?
You have to have a land of each color, a land of each basic type, and an apartment of each color.
Correct. Yeah. And so you get the point. But if you didn't know that, you could just say, I don't know, I'm going to make something up off the top of my head.
You have to get all the other players in the multiplayer game to hug each other.
Exactly. Right. And if he also didn't know it, but I have a feeling Brandon will, you would get the point, because that's pretty funny.
So we're going to take turns. Like, you'll say, you'll describe it to me.
I'm going to describe it, and then we're going to have, since Brendan's winning, we're going to have him go first. No, actually, no, you go first because you might actually
Why would you
card.
Give him the advantage because he's winning? Because
you're funnier.
All right.
I'd like the advantage, please.
So, yeah, all right, we'll have you go first. There's only a couple on here. All right. So, this card was Battle of Wits. It was 3 and 2 blue. 3 colors, 2 blue, whatever. It's from Odyssey, 9th edition, M13. It's an enchantment. What do you think the alternate win condition on that card was?
The alternate win condition on that card is you win the game at the beginning of your upkeep if there are 200 or more cards in your library.
All right, you get a point. We don't even need to go over. See? Mic drop. Good job. You dropped your pen.
I dropped it. It's a
pen
it's
drop.
A gift card that I've carved up.
I prefer to think it's a pen because I see a pen in front of me.
But there's no way for me to write with this implement.
All right.
I was honestly like...
I think I should get to answer the next one first also.
Sure, why not?
All right.
We got Mortal Kombat. 2 colorless, 2 black. 10th edition and Torment Enchantment.
Okay, Mortal Kombat is, at the beginning of your upkeep, stab the opposing player in the heart, you win the game.
Good attempt. All right. You would win the game with that, too. I mean, you might go to jail, but whatever.
But you won the game, so...
Do you know Mortal Kombat? Or do you have a funnier answer? Because even if you know it, if you can beat that.
I don't know this one.
The advantage I have in this game is I'm witty.
Yeah.
Do you want to try and make something up?
You know, I'll give this point to Mitch. That's fine.
It's no fucking guineas. No, you answer this goddamn question.
I'd say it's whoever can pull off every fatality in Mortal Kombat wins the game.
I'm going to go with murder on this one. So it's you win if you have 20 or more creatures in your graveyard. But we'll give a point to Mitch for that. Yeah, 20 or more creatures in your graveyard, you can do that. No problem.
See, I feel like mine's way more skill intensive because it is. Yeah, that's impossible to do.
I couldn't even do one. Like, I could do, there was one that was down, 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 uppercut. And I could do that. Anyone else is like,
oh, you mean in the game? I thought you meant like perform these fatalities on people.
Yeah. Oh, that too.
I could rip someone's head right off.
Rip somebody's spine out.
That's totally easy.
Yeah.
So,
it's a quick way to get banned from Channel Fireball.
Well, let's see who should get this one. Yeah, we'll go back to Mitch.
Yep.
Barren Glory. So this is a future sight card. It's actually also a... Oh, you know it? All right. Just say it.
I know this one. You win the game if you control no other permanents other than Barren Glory and you have no cards in your hand.
All right, fair play.
At the beginning of your upkeep.
Yeah, that's
boom.
It.
Boom.
Also...
Boom. Boom. Where you at now, Brandon? Nowhere.
I think that might have been the only unhinged card, unglued card, rather, to get reprinted.
That's true.
Yeah.
She stands alone.
She stands alone.
She all stands alone in Yokel Hops. There you go. Boom. Win the game.
I got to give Brandon some chance, so he's going to do the next
Hold
one
the
here
fuck
first.
On.
He'll get to go right. first on one.
Okay, fine.
Azor's Elocutors?
If it has a certain amount of counters, it's like 7 counters.
Certain number of counters? That does not sound like the rules text. Why don't you name the rules text of the card and not just make up bullshit?
Well, because
Either your answer's going to be funny.
Whoever's closer.
Did you forget the part where if you just answer it right, you get the point?
Oh, no. I don't remember that one.
Well, he might be able to answer it more correctly.
Okay.
So, go ahead.
I believe it was like if you had every time during your upkeep, you got a counter.
That's not the win condition.
Do you know the name of that counter?
Was
don't
like give
a litigation
hints,
counter
asshole.
Or something ridiculous.
Well, no, this is helping you. Right. I'm cheating for you.
No, you're helping him. I know the answer. I know the answer already.
No,
don't give him hints.
If you get it more correctly,
he's asking me a question
him.
About okay. a card that I put in one deck and never came out.
Okay, go on.
All right, so what you said litigation.
It was
all
like
right.
a litigation counter, and it was like if you had 5 or 7 at your upkeep, you won the game.
Okay. Well, are you going to go with 5 or are you going to go with 7? Because remember, if he gets it more correct, 5. Okay.
And the win condition on this card is at the beginning of your upkeep, if Azor's Elocutors has 5 or more elocution counters on it, you win the game.
Okay. You're both wrong on the name of the counter. So you're both exactly wrong. So I wonder how to break this
Hold
tie.
Hold on a second. I don't believe you.
It's filibuster.
Filibuster.
Okay. I like how you basically tripped over yourself trying to be right on that one.
But it was the confidence. I was confident in my answer. I was 100%. Fuck off. Whatever.
I just love me some filibusters.
Right, I'm still ahead in this game. So
this
whatever.
Is true. It's 3-0. So all here right. we go. We'll give him another shot here.
Suck that donkey dick.
So Chance Encounter, another Odyssey card. It's 2 colorless and 2 red. And it's an enchantment. Go figure.
You know, the reason I think I don't know any of these cards is because they're not cards I would play.
What do you mean you wouldn't play this card? This card's absolutely
what's
tank.
It, what's
it
the name of the
terrible.
Card again? What's the
Chance Encounter.
Chance Encounter.
And I actually got this one mixed up with a card from Weatherlight. I thought it was that one.
Because if it wasn't a card I wouldn't have played in Standard, there's no way I would have remembered it. I don't remember any of those alternate wing cards.
Make something up. Chance encounter? Come on, that could be anything. That could be your bar. Someone sits down next to you.
Name a card. Slides a package. You reveal the top card of your library. If it's that card, you win the game.
Well, that'd be busted, but all right, that's a good shot. Mitch?
Reveal the top card of your library. Scan the room for a person that will meet your eyes. If you fall in love, win the game.
Point to Mitch.
That's because you're both looking for
What's
love.
The actual one?
He found it. No, chance encounter. So whenever you win a coin flip, add a luck counter, and if you have 10 luck counters, you win.
Oh, that's pretty hot.
That is terrible.
That sounds like a perfect card. This is the Andiest card we've talked about tonight.
Yeah. I mean, this is Andy written all over.
Yeah.
I may have been doing a podcast with him when I thought of this game. All right. Who should I go with first? Whatever. Person who's in the lead on this will go first. Now I know my ABCs. One colorless, two blue. It's from Unhinged, and it's an enchantment.
You at the beginning of your upkeep, if you control a permanent with every at the beginning of your upkeep, if you amongst permanents you control like has all the letters in the alphabet.
All right.
Yeah.
That's 95% correct.
If the names of permanents you control right. have every letter of the alphabet, yeah. then you win the game.
That's 95% correct. Let's see if you can pick up the last five.
What's it again?
Now I know my ABCs. Can you pick up the last 5%? Can you pick up the spare? No, it was specified English language.
Oh, okay.
Whatever. Just in case. There could have been Cyrillic on it. Come on.
ABC is not.
I don't even know what the ABC comrades. Alpha. We're both watching the Americans. We should know the answer to this. All right. Last one. Test of endurance. Oh, I'm sorry. You got a point for that.
That's actually the only one I know.
Test of endurance.
Just because it's 5-0, Brandon, you go first. Test of endurance.
At the beginning of your upkeep, if you have 50 or more life, you win the game.
Yay!
That's the only one I know.
Test of endurance. If at the beginning of your upkeep, if you can hold your breath for three phases, then you win the game.
God. Well, wait, because you wouldn't be able to announce that your phase was over.
Exactly.
Oh, congratulations. You win 3 packs of Dragons of Tarkir.
No, do I get a point for that? I don't think I get a point for that. Well, because, okay, hold on. Can I ask you a rules point for this game?
Sure.
If we ever play this game again in the future. So if he gets the answer correct, 100% correct.
Yeah.
But my answer's way funny. Like,
tough.
Is tough that a, toenails. That's a judge's call?
Yeah. The rules.
Or he just gets the point.
He would get the point right off the
bat. Okay. So getting the correct answer is more important than having a funny answer.
Right.
I don't like that rule.
I had another one, but it was way too specific. It was all the different games that have different words for tap. And that was just no. Because I played way too many non-magic CCGs in my life.
Yeah.
We
can say that for another.
When you know the difference between booting, tacking, locking, setting, committing, tapping.
You've spent way too much money on collectible cards.
I really have. And I'd never throw them out either, because once you throw them out, you don't have them anymore, and you might need them later.
You've got closet space to put those in. All right, well, I think that's going to do it for this week. I'm at Ted Mustard on Twitter.
I'm at Epros1285.
You can find the show at Chattering Magic. Nick, do you have a Twitter account we can reach you at?
Yes, you do. It's at We Have Snacks. I mean, I've stolen that from someone.
Yeah, I think I've heard someone talk about how they're upset about that.
If you want it, $200 and it's yours. Just saying.
You're an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
All right, find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thechattering. Check out this and other great shows on www.notlg.com. Our intro music is by Kevin McLeod. Thanks, and thanks for listening.
Night of the Living Geek.
Yeah. All right. There's our intro.
God damn it. Hold on. I have to write that down now.